Back in late 2023 and early 2024, we took a look at two major reports published by an organisation called the Institute and Faculty of Actuaries, or IFOA. Actuaries are the number crunchers who sit in the back rooms of banks, insurance companies and large corporations, with the specific role of financial risk management. In other words, their job is to work out all the global economic, political, social and environmental impacts that could hit us in the future, calculate which of those impacts might potentially bankrupt their companies, and recommend what those organisations should be doing to avoid that extremely undesirable eventuality. In January 2025, the IFOA published a third paper consolidating the findings from the previous two publications and proposing a set of urgent actions for policymakers. Now, this is a UK organisation, so I guess if you were a company CEO somewhere else in the world, like North America, for example, you might be tempted to take the findings of these British risk managers with a large pinch of salt and get on with your day regardless. JP Morgan Chase isn't a UK organisation though, is it? It's very definitely an American organisation, an American bank in fact. An American bank that, according to Forbes, is now the largest bank in the world. An American bank which, according to its CEO Jamie Dimon, trades $3 trillion of US bonds and moves $10 trillion in money every single day. An American bank that since 2021 has invested almost $200 billion into the fossil fuel industry. An American bank that could hardly be described as an ardent flag bearer for climate action. Despite all that, in early 2025, JP Morgan Chase published its own analysis highlighting many of the same impending climate impacts as its British counterpart. The striking difference, though, is in how these two organisations are proposing the world should respond to those challenges. So who's on the right track then? Hello, and welcome to Just Have a Think. Now, before we get into the weeds, I've got a big favour to ask of you. As many of you already know, I operate entirely as a one-man band here at the Just Have a Think channel. I research, write, film, animate and edit all the videos myself from start to finish, which can be a 50 to 60 hour working week. I love it though, don't get me wrong, and I wouldn't want to be doing anything else. But getting noticed by the YouTube algorithm without the big marketing teams that some other channels have access to can be a real struggle. And with seismic global geopolitical events going on relentlessly in the past few months, videos about the climate emergency and sustainable technology have dropped way down the YouTube recommendations pecking order. And that's where you come in. You see, the YouTube algorithm is massively driven by the number of subscribers. And about 70% of you folks watching today have not yet chosen to subscribe to the Just Have a Think channel. Subscribing is completely free, doesn't commit you to anything at all, and it won't mean your inbox suddenly gets flooded with daily spam messages from me. That's not my style, and to be honest, I wouldn't have the time anyway. So clicking on the subscribe button is simply a very kind gesture of support for the work I do here, and it really does help to persuade YouTube's AI software to offer my videos to a wider audience. It'd be really amazing if you felt you could do that. And if you select all notifications from the drop-down box as well, then every Sunday, you'll get my latest video in your YouTube recommendations. And of course, if you do decide to subscribe, you would have my eternal gratitude. Right, let's get back to JP Morgan Chase then. In October 2024, JP Morgan Chase hired the chief scientist of the US National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, or NOAA. Her name is Dr. Sarah Kapnick, and her new title at the bank is Global Head of Climate Advisory. The data in this latest report, published under the banner of Climate Intuition, is therefore largely a result of Dr. Kapnick's work. So unlike the majority of the current US administration, there is no argument from JP Morgan Chase about the reality of climate change or the causes of atmospheric warming. Population growth, fossil fuel production and agricultural productivity have persistently risen over the last century, the report tells us. And it clarifies that one of the simplest measures of climate change is annual global temperatures. Observed temperatures were long within a steady range over time, the report says, but only in the last 1 to 2 decades does that range of temperature observed fall well outside that historic range. All the charts they provide us with are marching relentlessly in the same upward direction, whether it's population growth, global oil production, gross domestic product, agricultural production, greenhouse gas emissions, or global temperatures. And just to clarify those last two data sets, in 2023, the world recorded the warmest year on record, with a 12-month average of 1.46 degrees Celsius above pre-industrial levels. That record year was immediately surpassed in 2024 when we hit 1.54 degrees Celsius of warming. And even though the rate of change has slowed a little in 2025, according to the UK Met Office, the world is still on track to exceed the famous Paris Climate Accord target of 1.5 degrees in most of the coming 5 years. And those greenhouse gas emissions that we're constantly being told we need to start rapidly reducing, well, they just keep going up as well. In April 2025, atmospheric CO2 concentrations hit 430 parts per million, a level not seen on this planet since the Pliocene era about 3 million years ago, when we humans weren't around to witness it. Anyway, back to our friends at JP Morgan Chase. They help us understand one of the impacts of a changing climate with this little graphic showing how the probability of heat waves shifts with rising temperatures. That's not dissimilar to this graphic from the second IFOA report entitled Climate Scorpion, showing how the probability of severe flooding has also shifted over time. So-called black swan events that were regarded as vanishingly unlikely back in 1980 are now slap bang in the middle of the 2030 probability curve, and the new black swans carry a level of catastrophic consequence that would have been simply unthinkable just 40-odd years ago. But here's where we start getting the first hints of divergence between the JP Morgan Chase report and the IFOA report. The takeaway from the JP Morgan temperature chart says this: global emissions are still growing following scenarios to temperatures above 2°C, not declining. A 1.5°C global temperature milestone has been reached. A linear trend line from 1950 projects global temperatures above 1.5°C by the 2040s. But according to just about every notable climate scientist that I've been listening to for the last 8 years or so, projecting a linear or straight line path of temperature changes into the future is a very unwise thing to do indeed. Take this chart, for example, from the IFOA Climate Scorpion report. What this is showing is the range and likelihood of atmospheric temperature changes going all the way up to 10 degrees Celsius in the very most pessimistic scenario. And by the way, just to give you a bit of relative perspective on that, it was a temperature increase of just 5 degrees Celsius that provided enough energy to shift our entire planet out of the last ice age and into the Holocene period that we humans have enjoyed for the last 10,000 years or so. Here's climate scientist Johan Rockström speaking at a recent TED talk.
And we've had a 10,000-year period where our civilizations have developed, where we've had an enormous privilege of a planet at 14 degrees Celsius, plus minus 0.5 degrees Celsius. That's the Holocene since we left the last ice age. And if you look 3 million years back, we never exceeded 2 degrees Celsius. That's the warmest temperature on Earth during the entire Quaternary. The coldest point, minus 5 degrees Celsius, ice age. I call this the corridor of life.
Even the JP Morgan Chase report has to concede that the combined stated climate policies of all the world's nations, if implemented in full, are projected to take us to 2.7 degrees Celsius in the next 70 years. But just resting on that assumption and advocating for a stronger adaptation policy is not really good enough for properly responsible professional financial risk managers. They need to tell their paymasters what could happen if the brown stuff really hit the fan, not what the average or median projections are. Otherwise, they leave themselves wide open to a very nasty surprise indeed. So while the IFOA chart shows us that 2.7 degrees is indeed the most statistically probable outcome of current policy, it also shows us plenty of lines that surpass that mark, and they tell us this. Focusing on the most likely outcomes under climate change lulls us into a false sense of security, since there is still an uncomfortably high probability of an equilibrium climate sensitivity, or ECS, of 5 degrees C or higher. Under the latest IPCC estimates, there's an 18% chance of ECS being greater than 4.5 degrees Celsius. This equates to an almost 20% chance, which is a higher chance of failure than in a game of Russian roulette. And of course, this divergence between the two reports really matters, because projections of future warming directly influence the decisions made on what to do about it. Here's the last paragraph of the JP Morgan Chase report. While navigating the complexities of climate change, it's imperative to develop your climate intuition. In this series, we will first dive into how climate change is becoming a variable but predictable cost by looking at insurance markets. In response, we'll explore how adaptive action can be taken to live with present and future climate change. With the new administration in the US, we'll explore national security issues of energy independence in a changing climate. That represents a clear focus on accepting what's coming, finding ways to adapt to it to keep yourself and your clients safe, and looking for ways to exploit the perceived economic opportunities that could bubble up as a result. JP Morgan Chase, alongside all these other large banks, has now withdrawn from the Net Zero Banking Alliance that was set up at COP26 in Glasgow in 2021. And all those banks are now actively pursuing new oil and gas investment opportunities under the protective wing of a presidential climate denier. Here's JP Morgan Chase CEO Jamie Dimon at the recent Reagan National Economic Forum giving his view on Joe Biden's Inflation Reduction Act.
You know, the Biden administration is giving all its money to EVs and cars and wasting a lot of money on green stuff, which isn't going to work.
Morgan Stanley Bank quietly mentions a 3 degrees Celsius world in a recent report to its clients on the air conditioning market, concluding that this warming bonanza could more than double the growth rate of the cooling market from 3% to 7% a year. And of course, we've all heard about the scramble to exploit the vast mineral riches up in the Arctic, now that all the sea ice is disappearing and the permafrost is thawing out to allow access to this previously inaccessible bounty. But according to the Institute and Faculty of Actuaries, all those strategies are extremely short-term, hopelessly blinkered, and dangerously irresponsible. They argue that too many financial institutions are predicting a continually growing global economy, even in a so-called hothouse world scenario, because they've calculated climate damages as discrete individual events rather than cascading catastrophes that have a compound effect. So they've come up with a cost of climate damage that is lower than their economic growth projections, and they've concluded that everything will be okay. That, according to the IFOA, is in direct conflict with scientific projections of significantly reduced human habitability from climate change. The risk of planetary insolvency looms unless we act decisively, the report tells us. Without immediate policy action to change course, catastrophic or extreme impacts are eminently plausible, which could threaten future prosperity. To give an idea of the size of the disparity between market-driven capitalists who are apparently only reading the data that suits their investment strategies and impartial, hard-nosed financial risk assessors, many of whom have to underwrite multi-billion dollar insurance risks, here's a statistic for projected global GDP loss from the IFOA report that really should put a chill down the spine of those money-driven entrepreneurs. The orange line shows a global GDP loss projection based on research available when the organisation was founded. That research has already been superseded by updated numbers based on real-world extreme weather events in the intervening years. That's the difference between 5% of global GDP lost by 2050 and 15% lost. The authors of the later dataset state that these damages already outweigh the mitigation costs required to limit global warming to 2 degrees C. That's to say, it will be overwhelmingly positive economically to limit global warming. And if you overlay the range of uncertainty, which is this grey area, you get a worst case scenario of a 25% GDP loss by mid-century and no less than half the global economy up in smoke by 2100. That is more or less the end of civilization as we know it. Despite that data, the IFOA explains that some policymakers are still using old data from this book written by two university professors way back in the year 2000, which suggests an almost negligible impact of only 2% GDP loss by the end of this century, even at 3 degrees Celsius of warming. According to the IFOA, that means policymakers using these older model outputs may be accepting far higher levels of risk than they realise. The approach that the IFOA is advocating for still has the economy at its centre, but also factors in societal and biosphere impacts. It should be risk-led, accept the primacy of our Earth systems, be systematic and based on the latest science. It should very definitely be non-linear, factoring in all the known tipping point risks, and it should be collaborative across disciplines to achieve effective governance and reporting, all of which just happens to give you the snappy acronym of resilience. Will that happen in our current entirely self-inflicted global kerfuffle? Seems unlikely, doesn't it? But that's the choice. Act now and act decisively, or wait for nature to make the decisions for us. Personally, I definitely prefer option one. But no doubt you've got your own view, and if you're keen to express that view right now, then as always, the place to do that is in the comments section below. That's it for this week though. Like I said earlier, if you found this video useful and enjoyable, then you really would be helping to support my work by hitting the subscribe button and clicking on all notifications. And you can also join the absolutely incredible group of people over at Patreon who support this channel with feedback and corrections on early access videos, votes in regular content polls, and financial support starting from $1 a month. That's all available at patreon.com/justhaveathink, and that support means I've never monetized any of my videos on YouTube, which means you never get interrupted by ads or sponsorship messages when you're watching any of my content. So if you're on a smartphone, tablet, PC or Mac, you can subscribe over here somewhere and visit the Patreon page over here. Most important of all though, thanks very much for watching. Have a great week and remember to just have a think. See you next week.